your Bibles, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 12 through 17. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Solomon has told us in chapter 1, 12 through 2:10 that he sought wisdom on his own. Gift of wisdom to him, he thought he could improve on that, and he found it all was a waste of time. It did no good for him whatsoever. He said it was futile in striving after the wind. It simply was a waste of his time. And now he continues to speak to us about his discoveries in verse 12. So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray we would learn well the lesson that was hard learned by Solomon. Give us insight, O God. Help us to understand and help us to follow Solomon in his repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I think I need to preface what I'm going to say by stating Solomon is, of course, giving us a rather bleak picture of his experience. I think we need to understand that he learned the hard way that his choice of trying to seek wisdom apart from God and neglect the fact that he had wisdom already, he learned the hard way that was a mistake. And he's trying to teach us, opening up his heart and his... We have to understand this is the son of David. He is remembering, I do believe, what David had written and what David had taught him over the years. And before David fell into sin, and probably after David repented of his sin, he didn't want Solomon to make the same mistakes. And of course, Solomon did make some of the same mistakes, commit some of the same sins. And he's told us the result of his own folly in verse 11. He considered all this activity, it was just vanity, striving after the wind, herding cats, if you will. And that there was no profit for it under the sun. It did him no good day to day. And here in our text, he is telling us how he found it out. I wonder what you think. Look at verse 13. And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. What an interesting choice of words there. Do you remember? He's talking about the conflict between light and darkness. Does this remind you of a New Testament verse? It should remind you of a few of them. John 1, 4, 5, and John 8, 12. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And Jesus' own words again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. He sensed there was a light. He missed. But I'm also reminded, or we should be reminded, of David's words in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and, catch this, a light unto my path. For what Solomon is telling us is that what was missing from his life was the light that no man can have apart from God's word. Remember, he was seeking wisdom apart from the word of God. He had the writings of Moses. He had the writings of the histories. And he had the writings of his father. And he's telling us that's what was missing from my life. He wants us to know something of the frustration that comes to a man or woman, boy or girl, who does not live in the light of the wisdom God gives us in his word. That is his hard-learned lesson. May God give us grace to not have a hard time learning the lesson ourselves. You see, first of all, Solomon in his dark days still understood that wisdom is better than folly, though just barely better at that point in time. He investigated madness and folly. That's interesting. He decided to see what's madness like, and I think he found out that madness was doing what he was doing. Madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's crazy. That's madness. And that's what he was doing. But he's also thinking of his successor. Look at verse 12. What will be the man who do? What will the man do who will come after the king? He has to be thinking of his son. What will my son do after me, except what's already been done? He sees his son as possibly making the same mistakes, doing the same things he saw his father doing. How will his son fare when he pursues wisdom? He will need to be wise, going to be king. And it didn't work out so well with his son. But Solomon's hoping for better for him. And he fears that his son will fail as he did. He'll only do what Solomon did, and it will be him. It could be Solomon knows his destiny to an end. He wants his son to do better, but he may well do exactly what he did. And these are a father's regrets when you grow old and you realize you didn't get set a good example for your children. And what can you do except exhort them? Don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. So Solomon is convinced now of the need for wisdom. Verse 13, and I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Not just any wisdom, but the wisdom that comes from the word of God. That's what Solomon is convinced of. The fool says in his heart, there is no God, perhaps literally, from the Hebrew, no God. No, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do it my own way. And that's what Solomon did. Or perhaps literally then, what Solomon is saying, I didn't listen to God. I did what God told me not to do. I knew from my father's example how that turned out for him. I didn't learn from my father. And I hope my son will learn from my failures to do better. Solomon says he's learned a fundamental lesson that wisdom exceeds folly. That seems obvious. Wisdom gained from Scripture is the only thing that can exceed folly. Sells darkness. And as he looks back on his own folly, remembers David's words that God's word is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. He realizes, Solomon does, that he has not been living in the light of God's word. And realizing that both wise and foolish men end the same way, verses 14 and 15a, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness, and yet I know that one fate befalls them both. And then I said to myself, as the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. So why on earth have I been so extremely wise? Why have I been looking for wisdom and not living wisely as God had taught me years and years ago, as my father taught me years and years ago? He realizes he's not been living in the light of God's word, and I believe at this point he's saying, I'm afraid of the final judgment. I'm afraid of the final judgment. And you see, this is one mistake we're all prone to be so caught up in the present, to be so caught up in our current situations in life that we do not consider the end. We forget, not so conveniently, that we have to face God and give an account for how we've lived our lives. Paul tells us that all our works will be cast into a fire, and the useless works will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. The only thing that will remain is what God has done himself through us. Solomon is seeing that his end doesn't look so good now to him. He fears God, and he's repentant. That's why he's writing Ecclesiastes, you see. He wants his children, and he wants others to read the book, to realize, don't do what I did. Serve God. Follow the light of his word. To do anything else is just plain foolish. So that's the first point. Secondly, Solomon sees that so long as he walks in darkness apart from the light of Scripture, the wise man does not differ in the end from the fool. Verses 15 and 16. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool alike die. Stupid people die. Smart people die. Everybody dies. Everyone has to face God as the judge. It is no sin, and I'm sure Solomon wants us to understand, it's no sin, certainly God wants us to understand, it's no sin to seek wisdom. It's no sin, in fact, it's wise to carefully observe the life God gives us under the sun. Turn to Psalm 8, verses 3 through 8, where again, his Father gives us godly reflection. Psalm 8. Verses 3 through 8. Psalm 8, beginning at verse 3. When I consider heavens, get that? Consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. That's observing what God has made and meditating on it. And here's the only proper conclusion in verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. A year ago, my wife and I were traveling west from Harrisburg. We went through Colorado, and we saw what a friend of mine calls the Little Grand Canyon in Colorado, in the western part of Colorado. We saw a beautiful sunrise in Iowa. We saw, of course, the Grand Canyon. We saw mountains and shapes at the top of hills that were just hard to believe how beautiful they were. The vastness of the continent. The handiwork of God. That's what David was observing. It's a good thing to seek wisdom, to observe carefully the life and the things that God gives us under the sun. What Solomon apparently failed to do is follow his father's thoughts to a biblically logical end. Wisdom gained should lead you to worship God, not wisdom. Solomon made wisdom his God. He pursued wisdom instead of God, forgetting that God is wisdom embodied. God is wisdom. And God's wisdom is superior to that of what you discover on your own. Solomon failed to follow other thoughts. And he found that the wisdom he gained on his own, apart from God, was merely vapor and illusion. It was a fantasy because it was out of the context of the living God and the knowledge that he created it. He didn't give credit to God for the good things he discovered. He didn't give glory to God for them. Since Solomon, therefore, forgot the first and most important thing, remember your God while you live and hide his word in your heart, that you might not sin against him. The things that impress you in a sunset, the things that impress you in the mountains, the things that impress you with the waves on the Pacific shore or the Atlantic shore, the things that impress you most about life ought to cause you to pause and give glory to God for them. And to fear the God who has such might that he controls all of that. Think about it. What keeps the moon from coming out of its orbit and hitting the earth? The scientist will give you the scientific explanation, which has a good level of truth in it. But really, it's God's hand that holds the moon in place. And of right, he ought to just release the moon to strike the earth. He'd be perfectly just to do so. This is the same God who set the floods on the earth in the days of Noah. It was only his mercy and faithfulness that kept him from wiping out mankind altogether and letting himself just exist without man being an irritation to him. In his forgetting, Solomon became simply a smarter fool. Just a smarter fool. There's no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with a fool, inasmuch in the coming days will all be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool alike shall die. Solomon had, as it were, a library of knowledge in his head. And we see it in his own Proverbs and the Song of Songs, both inspired by God. But he forgot it all, and in so doing he forgot his God with all he had learned from him and all his father David had taught him. And now he now realized that he, like the fool, must die and then face the God he had forgotten as well as God's word and wisdom. He forgot everything except what he wanted. Do not, beloved, do not live 1 minute of your life separated from the light of God's word. For the day of your death is nearer than you think. The men who've died that were the public face of the OPC in recent weeks ought to teach us that. You don't know if you will see God or the morning when you awaken tomorrow. You need to remember that God is your first and best and only real friend and the only person you should be living for. Not for yourself, not your own happiness, but for God and his glory. There is a resurrection of the dead to come and a judgment day to follow. So I ask you, beloved, are you ready to die and face God tonight? Are you ready for that? That's an important question. We don't think about it enough. And then finally, a life that is uninformed by God's wisdom revealed in Scripture leads one to hate life for the evil it produces. Isn't that what he's saying in verse 17? So I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after the wind. This life has no color. It has no life. It has no savor. It has no flavor. It has no serious interest apart from the living God. He's what makes it worthwhile. He's the one who sustains it. Without him, it's folly. It's vapor. It's striving after the wind. Solomon was finally driven to repent, I believe, based on what he writes here, by the poisonous fruit of his failed memory. None of the pleasures and projects and experiments and wisdom, madness, and folly did him a single bit of good. Indeed, he was grieved by both his sin and his forgetfulness and its fruit, futility and frustration. That's all it got him. He was going to die hating his life. And all he did, if he did not repent, he had to make a choice. Will I repent or will I just die hating life? And he did, by God's gracious mercy, finally repent. And the book of Ecclesiastes is evidence of that. He's left a letter for us. He's left a message for his son and for all of us. Don't do what I did. Stop trying to live life apart from the living God, your creator. And you add the New Testament to it. Don't take your eyes off the cross. Don't take your eyes off the risen Savior. Live for Jesus. That's what matters. That's a line from a song I heard from an old Jesus person singer named Nancy Honeytree. Live for Jesus. That's what matters. Jesus spoke to this very issue in the Sermon on the Mount. Turn once again with me, this time to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. And I'd be surprised if many of you don't have this unexpectedly memorized. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Listen to the words of Jesus after all the things he said in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, there's a children's song I'm going to quote at length, and maybe it's been sung in Sunday school here. I'm seeing a smile on Liz's face. She may remember the song. I'm going to quote it to you. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Oh, the rain, floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. Oh, the rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the foolish man's house went splat. Now, none of the pleasures and projects of Solomon came to anything. Solomon received, though, as a final gift of new wisdom from his merciful God. And so he wrote the words of our text and the rest of the book. The gift of repentance. He got the gift of repentance. And the one who is greater than Solomon then adds his amen to this in his words in the Sermon on the Mount. Consider carefully where your life is headed and why it's headed that way. Consider what you're doing. Only what's done for Jesus will last. Last week, Christ is telling us through Solomon is this, that it is only those who follow him as the light of their lives that are able to avoid darkness and a wasted and frustrating life. Hear Jesus as he deals honestly with us in this book about life in this sin-darkened world, is warning us not to live apart from his word and his spirit and his intercession before the Father. If we leave Jesus behind, if we forsake Scripture as our pattern for living, it will not be surprising if we grow to hate life. For you see, you were never meant to do this on your own. Adam tried it and ended up spawning generation after generation of sinners in rebellion against his Father in heaven. And Solomon was just one key person in those generations. But Solomon found out before it was too late, and he is confessing his sins and demonstrating his repentance in this book. Learn a lesson then from a truly reformed, repentant man. Don't chase vapor and herd cats. Keep close to your Bible and walk in its light by God's grace. It is the only way to avoid ending life in grief and vanity and frustration. Here is Jesus' counsel to you and me as well. If you want to love life and not hate it as Solomon did, be wise. Each and every day, read, study, and meditate upon his word and live in its light. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for a complete Bible, where the words of Solomon